Islam and philosophy. Okay. There was at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, actually after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the Abbas, Dawla al-Abbasiyya, the Abbas Empire, a guy, the Abbas Empire was so strong and Islam was so powerful at that time. So the Greeks emperor basically asked his consulting, advising people. He said, what is the best thing to do so that we can hurt Islam the most? So they told him philosophy. So what he did is that this king translated, or this emperor translated the books of philosophy into Arabic, and he sent them where? To the Muslim emperor or to the Muslim Khalifa. You got what I say?
Yes.
Okay. So then what happened? There are people who are in the entertainment industry, and they come up with ways to entertain the rich people. They come up with ways to entertain the rich people and the elites. And they started running out of ways, so they were thinking about other ways. So they had these books of philosophy, and they liked it very much, very much. And they started using it to amuse the rich and the Khalifa, to entertain them. Now I'm going to use a word called clowns of the entertainment industry. I'm going to use that description to point to the entertainment people, entertaining people in the entertainment industry. Why clowns? Because they started, they make people laugh. Okay. So they picked it up. Now, at the time of the authority, at that time there was an authority. And this authority hierarchy was like this. And the top authority was Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal. Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal. And anything he gets to approve, if he approves something, then it is right. If he disapproves something, then it's wrong. So those clowns of the entertainment industry wanted to get this away from Imam Ahmed. He wanted to get this away from Imam Ahmed. So they decided to reinterpret the descriptions of Allah or the attributes of Allah in their own philosophical way. I'll give you an example of philosophy and see if you guys can survive this confusing example or not. You guys say that Allah does everything, right? Allah can do everything, right? Hey, a person will come to you and say, can't Allah do everything? And you say, yes. Then he says, can Allah create a rock so heavy that he can't carry it? Heavy rock. Did I spell heavy right?
Yes.
Okay. Heavy rock. Can Allah create a heavy rock that he cannot carry? Can Allah create a rock so a rock that's heavy to the level that Allah can't carry?
Yeah. No.
Yes or no?
No.
No.
Yes.
Yes?
No. No, I'm saying yes, no.
Well,
if you say yes, then he can't carry the rock. I'm sorry, if you say yes, then here is...
Yeah.
Exactly. It's you lose both ways. You lose either way. If you say yes, then here's the rock. Allah can carry it. If you say no, then he's there. I mean, it is, he's there every, like there is a trap in every answer. So heavy rock.
Do you understand it? I've heard this example.
Can you explain it?
So people who are atheists are trying to trick you because...
Are people of philosophy.
Yeah, they're trying to ask, how is this even possible? So, like, how there's so many contradictions in your religion, that's what they're trying to convince you. And so they bring up this topic of, if Allah has made a rock, is it possible for Allah to make a rock that he can't carry? So he's taking... Allah can make everything, and Allah can do everything, and try to contradict them with each other. Which, of course, would, like, kind of stumble our faith. But a really good answer to this is, yes, he can make a rock, but he won't, because it's not in his...
It's not appropriate for his majesty.
Yes, that I could have quoted him word for word for that.
Like, can Allah cheat? Can he cheat?
Technically, but he wouldn't want to do that. It's one of
he would not do that because it conflicts with his attributes. You got it? So he is standing there. Can he create this heavy rock? If you say no, he can't, then here is one thing that he can't do, which is create a heavy rock.
Which is something that would contradict what we've...
If you say yes, he can, then here is the... He can't carry the heavy rock. You understand?
So what's pretty much trying to reach here is, don't fall into these contradictions. There is always a... If there's a yes and no presented to you, there's always a, yeah, it's kind of distorted, not really, you know, one of those paths.
So now the clowns of the entertainment industry, okay, the clowns of the entertainment industry wanted to hijack the authority of Islam to their side. In order to do that, they started changing, talking about the attributes of Allah, okay, and messing with them. Who stood against them? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Okay, so they started, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and the rest of the scholars at this time. So now they started picking up the scholars one by one and torture them beyond imagination. So when they tortured them, the logic was for torturing, they convinced the Khalifa. They said, okay, if he is trying to gain power and wealth by denying that, if he's trying to gain power and wealth, then he's not gaining power and wealth. He's getting pain and torture. He's getting pain and torture. Okay? So this way he will walk away from his position. But if he stands up, holds on to his position, even though it's bringing him pain and torture, then he's really sincere. And see philosophically how they convinced the Khalifa to arrest him and torture him. Now, there was a particular incident I use as an example, just as an example of how the clowns of the entertainment industry tried to use philosophy to manipulate and mess with the names of Allah. They say the Quran is created. What's the definition of Quran? The speech of Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam through Angel Jibreel. You agree this definition? It is the speech of Allah. Okay. Since Allah is everlasting, then his speech is everlasting. That's the truth. But they say, no, Quran is created, and Quran will age, and Quran will die. You see, they said Quran is a creation of Allah. Creations of Allah get age, they age, and they die at the end. Any creation of Allah is the same thing. Can you name one creation that's not going to age and then go away, cease to exist? No, they will be, they will die. They will die. After blowing the trumpet the first time, the angels, I mean, there's a story behind it. The angels will die themselves. And the souls will go to sleep. So nobody will feel anything. You just won't feel anything during that period from blowing the first trump to the blowing the second trump. First, between first and second. So name something else that will not age and expire and cease to exist. Name. Anything you come up with? Huh? The only one is Allah. He's everlasting, he will not age, and he will never cease to exist. Okay? So the speech of Allah is the same. But they say, no, we want...
Can I join your class today?
Huh?
Can I join your class?
Sure.
Yay.
It would be nice if you start taking the notes.
You want me to take notes?
Yes.
Yeah,
are you recording?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. There was one.
Yeah. So, just pick up from wherever you came. So now, also they started messing with the attributes of Allah. For example, Allah says, I am al-Sami' and I am al-Basir. Al-Sami' al-Basir. Sami' means what?
Hearing.
Hears everything, and Basir is?
I see.
Sees everything. Okay. So they said, no, Allah cannot be assigned these human labels, like can see and can talk, can see and can talk, can listen. These are human attributes, right? Human attributes is listen, talk, okay, and sees and hear and sees. Like he's able to see. Now, they came and they said, no. No, these are human labels. We cannot assign them to Allah. So Allah is not Sami', Allah is not Basir. Allah is not Sami', Basir. Or Allah can speak or listen. They said these are human attributes. But not appropriate for God. So they say, it's not appropriate for His Majesty. It's not appropriate for God. It's not appropriate for His Majesty. It's not appropriate for His Majesty to be assigned these human labels. To be assigned these human labels. Okay. So they say Allah is not Sami', Allah is not Basir, Allah is not Kaleem. Allah is not. Allah doesn't listen, and all
what
of these.
What is the Arabic words mean?
Sami'.
What does that mean?
Oh, it means hears everything.
Basir sees everything. And so Allah can. Allah, they say Sami' and Basir, and all of these are human attributes. These are human attributes. Can't human labels and human attributes can't be assigned to God. So now, who stood up against those clowns? The Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He stood against them. And he said, no, you guys are not going to step into this area. You guys can't get into this area. This area is forbidden for you. You can't get there. Okay? So they convinced the Khalifa to torture him. And they said to the Khalifa, if he's sincere, then he's going to stand pain and torture. If he is not sincere, then he's going to compare, is going to think, if I am taking this position to be famous or to gain power and recognition, then I am not. I am being tortured. So he walks away from his beliefs. So he tortured Prophet Muhammad beyond imagination. I'm sorry. They tortured Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal beyond imagination.
Hanbal?
Hanbal.
Hanbal.
With noon. Hanbal. Okay. Beyond imagination. And even the Khalifa that ordered, commanded his torture died. And the next Khalifa inherited the kingship and became, or like, inherited the Khilafah and he became a Khalifa. And he continued to torture Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Because Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal stood fast, and because he didn't change his mind out of this torture, because of that,
horrible idea, by the way, to torture somebody to see if they're sincere. Because if they don't have really, really, really strong will, they're probably going to be like, they probably lie just to get out of it. You know, give them what they want. I was going to say something.
And this is philosophy as well.
This is another thing. Another way you can think of it is that the all seeing and the all hearing, it's not to a human extent. Because he's all seeing. He's all hearing. So it's not the hear and see that we are experiencing, but a completely different one that is more suiting to Allah.
Yeah, that's the right answer. The right answer. And whenever I meet Allah, whenever you meet Allah, and we meet Allah, and Allah asks us, hey, how did you say that I am Sami'? You said, yes, Allah. Then Allah says, where did you come up from? Where did you come up with this idea from, or this label from, or this attribute from? He said, ya Allah, I read it in the Quran, and I followed what the Quran said. You said that you are Sami' and Basir, I read it in the Quran, so assumed that you are Sami' and Basir, but in a way that's appropriate for, just like Lina said, the way that's appropriate for your majesty. Now imagine that somebody else comes and says, Allah is not Sami', Allah is not Basir, these human labels are not appropriate for Allah. And he meets Allah, and then Allah will question that person, say, you said that I'm not Sami' and Basir. Okay? You said that it's not Sami' and Basir. Where did you get this from? Then, there's no answer. Because the Quran says the opposite. So there will be no answer. So you will be stuck in the Day of Judgment. And you will fall into this trouble with Allah because you denied something that was revealed in the Quran and made it something else. Okay. Now they say that two people, if they did not stand up for Islam that arrived to us would be different than the true Islam. Our Islam today would have been different if these...
Are they two khalifas?
Yeah, first the khalifa died.
No, two, not khalifas, sorry. Two sahabi of the prophet
Not two sahabi, two people. One of them is Ahmad ibn Hanbal. If he did not stand up for Islam, the clowns of the entertainment industry would have ruined the Quran. Would have ruined it. Would have reinterpreted the Quran using philosophy. And it would be rock. It would be these kind of silly things. And Allah can't hear, Allah can't see, Allah, Allah, Allah. You know? Then, if they start messing with attributes of Allah, then Islam that will arrive to us today will be different than Islam. What they did for philosophy, that was called bid'ah. Do you know what bid'ah is? Anybody knows what bid'ah is? Did you ever hear that before? Zima? Huh? Who knows what bid'ah is? Bid'ah is an innovation. Now, bid'ah, not every bid'ah is haram. There is a halal bid'ah and there is a haram bid'ah.
Well, didn't you talk about this last year?
Yeah, in Europe from last year.
Well,
The haram bid'ah. The haram bid'ah is the one you said, okay, people pray like this. Yes. I am going to pray like this. Put my hands like this.
When you pray.
Haram. You are changing the prayers from this to praying like this. This is called bid'ah. Bid'ah. Okay? That's bad bid'ah. That's an evil bid'ah. Let's say it's instead of fasting Ramadan, we say that we fast Ramadan and April. Or we fast April instead of Ramadan.
What? Makes no sense.
That's bid'ah. That's an innovation, which is haram. Somebody messes with the, you say you don't have to fast. This is another bid'ah. Okay? These are haram bid'ahs. So what are halal bid'ahs? To go to the masjid, instead of riding a camel, you ride what?
A horse.
A car or a horse, right?
I mean, I guess.
And instead of praying on the stones, small stones, you are praying on carpet. Because at the time of Prophet Muhammad, there was no carpet. There was stone, you know, the small stones spread on the ground, okay? Yes. And because these small stones are spread in the ground, it doesn't get muddy. And you can pray on them. And this is what the Sahaba did. This is what the Sahaba did.
Didn't they have like rugs and carpets on top of the masjid? No, didn't they have rugs and carpets?
No, they were maximum. They have this, what is it? This thing that looks like a net.
Screen?
That one mat that's like...
Mat. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He has a mat. They have a mat and pray on it sometimes, but most of the time they don't. So, they pray with their shoes on.
Why would they do that?
Because it's a gravel. It's all gravel. There are no carpets or mats. So, they pray with their clothes on.
Shoes.
With the shoes on. Yeah, they pray
we
with their shoes on.
We still pray with their clothes on, but now we pray with our shoes off.
Yes. Can somebody come and say this is a bid'ah?
Yes.
No, this is the good bid'ah, in other words.
Okay, well, it's still a bid'ah, but it's not like bid'ah has a negative connotation.
Yes.
So,
yes, I know that.
It's not bad. Okay?
It's not bad, though.
There was this guy who went to give a speech on Friday. I'm sorry, he went to give a speech after the prayer. And he preaches for an hour. He preaches for an hour that we should pray with our shoes on. Because that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions did.
We should?
That's what he said. That's what he was preaching. Hold on. Hold on. Okay. So guess what happened? The people who were listening to him after the prayer, they beat him up. They say, you want us to pray with our dirty shoes on the carpet?
Yeah, aren't you supposed to keep the house of Allah clean?
Yes.
Yes.
So they could just say that with common sense. You have to beat somebody.
Yeah, but anyway, you can see the stupid guy.
Blood on the carpet.
Yeah, it's not clean.
Blood? You put blood on the carpet? You guys are killing.
I'm not hearing you. Not all killing
involves blood. That's true. So, okay.
Yeah.
Any legal bid'ah, there is illegal bid'ah and legal bid'ah. There is illegal difference between us and there is legal difference between us. The legal difference is the difference that existed with the imams, with the four imams. The four imams did not agree on everything. The four imams had differences among them. You understand? Do you know what are these four imams? Who can remember the names?
Sheikh
something? No. I'll mention one. Okay. Malik. Imam Malik.
Oh, I know. Imam Suhaib.
No. The four imams of the Muslim Ummah, Imam Malik, and then Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, and then...
Oh, it was there.
At that time or yes. At this time?
No.
During the entire time, until
today, these are the imams. The Imam Malik, Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, and the Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik ibn Hanbal al-Shafi'i. Oh, I lost the... I lost the fourth one. I lost remembrance of the fourth one. Do you remember? Anybody remembers who's the fourth one?
I am.
Imam? No, that's a narrator for hadith. That's a guy, a hadith guy, not a madhab guy. There are schools. These are four schools. Okay. Would it hurt that if I am following? Oh, yes. Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Abu Hanifa. Is it? Did they agree on everything?
No.
They didn't agree on everything. They had differences among themselves. Now, how do we deal with these differences? These are legal differences. These are legal differences among us. Why? Because imams, all four imams had differences among them. Got it? So what is the legal differences? The legal differences are the differences that imams didn't agree on. Any of them, like for example, praying like this.
What?
That's not legal difference because all imams are against that. Okay.
For example, showing your feet. I know Dima was told that she, like, as a hijab, she shouldn't show her feet. Except
no.
I was never. Yes.
When?
I was never told
how
that.
Do you live with me?
No, because I asked you a while ago. Okay, so there's some people. Not necessarily pointing my fingers at Dima, who believe that when you wear the hijab, you shouldn't be showing your feet. While there's other people who do, and then there's also the concern with nail polish, where some people are like,
oh yeah.
Yes, nail polish, and other people are like, no nail polish.
Yes, nail polish. Oh, wow. Yes, nail polish.
You're praying, you're wearing nail polish.
Yes. But in terms of wudu, is it allowed or is it not? That is an entire
No. Hello?
They actually made nail polish that is... Like breathable nail polish.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. Let me give you another example.
I know. I don't use it. Yeah.
Wearing niqab. Wearing niqab.
You don't have to do that.
Is it?
No, you don't have to.
Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal says you have to do that. Shh. Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal said you have to do that.
You don't have to cover your face or your hands.
Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said you have.
That's debatable.
The three other imams
say you don't have to cover your face. You understand?
You wear niqab, do you cover your hands? Not, I don't think so.
If you wear niqab, yeah, usually the sisters wear niqab.
Yeah, they wear gloves.
They left the gloves. Okay. You got
some people cover their eyes.
Do you understand?
Like you can see through it, but they can't see through.
But you see, guys, three imams are saying it doesn't have to be that way. And one imam said yes. So if I give a difference between a brother, he says, like when you go to Saudi Arabia, if you're wearing a scarf, that's not enough. Yeah, you have to wear this.
Yeah, my cousin's with it.
Yes. You have
they
to wear.
They have to wear.
She kept taking it from
it's not fair for me.
I didn't even touch it.
You know you can't.
No,
you have to
like
cover
society,
your face.
Like everyone there wears
a yeah. So if you're wearing your hijab alone, they tell you, hey, woman.
Were you wearing clothes?
Wear hijab.
Oh yeah, they're religious clothes.
They say, oh women, oh girl, wear hijab.
Like we're cool.
Are they allowed to just do that?
You'd be
yes.
stopped in the street.
Why?
Yeah. They wouldn't like
wait. So they are saying wear hijab. So hijab to them is what? Covering. So you need to wear hijab. That's what they say. For you, that one is not hijab. Yes, it has to cover the face.
No, my aunt lives in Saudi Arabia and she's
she only covers her hair and her, she wears an abaya.
Okay. I left Saudi Arabia in 1984.
I would never wear it. My aunt?
Yeah.
Hello?
So, since that time, a lot of things have changed. What else? Do you know that we have two different ways to make adhan?
Yes.
And to make, I'm sorry, iqama? Iqama. There is one way to say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, hayya ala salati, hayya ala al-falah. That's one way of making iqama. The other one is, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So, you can say it with two or one.
The first one is mostly common.
Allahu Akbar, for iqama. And Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar for adhan. So the iqama has what? Allahu Akbar and Allahu Akbar. This is one school. Another school, the iqama has Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Wait, so like they instead of doing the Pledge of Allegiance, they do that?
So what? It's like one pair versus two
pairs. But anyway.
I don't even think they have
to, is it? Now, about reading, do you know that we have differences in reading Quran? How many ways of reading Quran we have? Seven major and three minor.
Three minor, that's what.
The three minor have a very little minor. Like, for example, in the Qira'ah of Hafs, you say, An-Nabi. You say, An-Nabi. Nabi, which is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
You said seven major and three minor?
Yeah. If you use the reading of Qalun, Imam Qalun, then you will say Ya ayyuhan Nabi, Ya ayyuhan, not Ya ayyuhan Nabi, Ya ayyuha, huh? Al-Nabi. And instead of Al-Nabi, they say Al-Nabi. In Surah Al-Fatiha, there is the way of Hafs. Say Malik Yawm al-Din. Do you want anyone here says Malik Yawm al-Din instead of Malik Yawm al-Din?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so nobody is learning Warsh. Yeah, because people in Southwest Asia, they all follow one madhab.
Where is that basically?
One
India,
reading.
Pakistan, Bangladesh, that around.
Why the reading of Hafs? You might say, why is the reading of Hafs? Why is the reading of Hafs? What was very well spread? It's much more famous than the other ways of reading. Hello. Why the reading of Hafs is the most popular way of reading Quran? Why is that? Because the Ottoman Empire, the Sultan of the Ottoman Empire, the Sultan, he adopted the Hafs way of reading and he spread it all over the Muslim world. However, in Libya, they use the Qalun ways of reading. And in Algeria and Morocco, they use Warsh. Watch. So when you hear somebody say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmi Deen, he's right. But he's not reading, yes. He's not reading with Hafs. He's reading with Warsh or Qalun. Okay, at the end of Surah Al-Shams, what's the last ayah? Wala yakhafu uqbaha. Do you remember that ayah? In one reading, Wala yakhafu uqbaha. And in another reading, Fala yakhafu uqbaha.
Why Fala?
Because why not?
Fala or wala? It is both good. You're saying what's the difference? They mean the same thing. Wala, fala, yakhafu uqba. Fala is soon. Wala is later. Okay? That's the difference between them. And there was a joke about that. There is a guy who knows only the reading of Hafs. Knows only the reading of who? Hafs. Which is you, the ones that you and me and Lina know. It's popular because it was spread by the Ottoman Empire. made it popular. So, what was I talking about?
Puffs.
Yes, a joke. That a guy was praying behind an imam. So at the end of Surah Al-Shams, the imam says, وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. The other guy said, فَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. One behind the, behind him said, وَلَا يَخَافُ, فَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. So the imam said, وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. So the guy said, فَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. So the imam said, وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. The guy said, فَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. Then one of the people who are praying said, it is another narration, you dumb. It's another narration.
In the middle,
you dumb?
Yeah.
You're like,
dumb?
You
dumb?
You dumb?
You dumb?
You dumb?
This is so... So me, I give you another example of difference in opinion that is good. Okay. There is a story about Prophet Muhammad that he wanted to surround the place where the Yahud of Bani Qurayza are residing. So he wanted people to rush. So the Prophet said, to let people know that it's urgent and rushing, said, okay, you guys don't pray Asr until you arrive to Bani Qurayza. Okay? So the Prophet intended what? Intended to make it, like a sense of urgency, like you should be there fast. However, there are people who said, no. The Prophet said, don't pray Asr in Bani Qurayza. I am not praying Asr except in Bani Qurayza. The first group said, we will pray Asr when it comes, because the Prophet meant to rush us. And the other group said, no, literally speaking, we are not going to pray Asr until we arrive to Bani Qurayza. You see the difference of opinion? One is understanding the meaning, the other one is going literally, by letter, the literal command.
So like they can get there at Maghrib and then they cross.
Yes, they went after Isha. They arrived after Isha. So they went and prayed Asr after arriving after Isha. And the other guys prayed in the normal time. So both went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they said, who's right and who's wrong? Guess what would be the response of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Huh?
You're both right.
The one who follows the literal command is right, and the one who understands the meaning behind this, which is what, like the guest or something?
Reading between the lines, is that what you're implying?
Yes, something like that.
So one is reading in between the lines and the other one is just reading.
So who is the second man that fought Islam, that fought for Islam, other than Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who stood against philosophy? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Because at his time, when the Prophet died and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq became the Khalifa, Prophet Muhammad, people started denouncing Islam. Massive number of people have started denouncing Islam. And they said, we are going to accept Islam only with four pillars. We want to remove the zakah pillar. So we want Islam to be four pillars, not five. We want to take the zakat. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu fought them. And until they repented and went back to the straight path, and Islam is five pillars. So if Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal did not stand up for Islam, we will have a philosophical Islam. And if Abu Bakr did not stand up for Islam, we will have Islam without zakah. So four pillars instead of five pillars.
You guys know why As-Siddiq isn't his actual...
It's his thing that represents...
Like, for example, Abu Lahab isn't actually called Abu Lahab.
It's Abu Lahab.
It was like something...
He is called Abu Bakr ibn Quhafa.
But As-Siddiq,
why do they have such like long names?
Huh?
Because this is their first and their last.
Because they, it says they're the Abu of someone and the Ibn of someone.
No, I'm.
Yeah, that's.
I'm asking why do somebody why are somebody
a culture. It was
wait, so they don't have actual names. They're just called the father of
okay, remember this. Remember this difference, one more difference. When the imam is reading Fatiha, and the imam is saying, Wala dhalin, what do you say? Okay, that's one way. Another way, you say is nothing. Or you say is Ameen silently. Say that. Silently.
Yeah, that's how
so,
do it.
So you would be praying next to some, next to a woman who's not saying Ameen. Don't go after the parents and say, you did not say Ameen. No, because she brings to a school of fiqh, which is following the four imams. She belongs to one of them, which does not say Ameen.
Can you be both?
Whatever you want is fine. Another difference, some people after the imam reads al-Fatiha loudly, they also read al-Fatiha loud, not loudly, silently. Other people don't read al-Fatiha loudly, but they read the surah that comes after al-Fatiha.
How do they
or listen to the surah, sorry, listen to the surah from the imam. Both are right. Okay, you want to do it this way, you want to do it that way. My approach is, whatever the imam or whatever the people are following, I just follow whatever they follow. As long as it's right.
If you're in a masjid that's not saying Ameen, don't be that one person who is saying Ameen.
Why?
Because you'd be the one only person.
If you want Romans to be number do. One, you have to be
the
all.
Hanafi.
You have to stick out and be proud.
Hanafi, look, Hanafi school of thought, school of fiqh, Hanafi school of fiqh, okay, says that you don't have to say Ameen loudly. Saying that you don't have to say Ameen loudly. Do you understand this?
I what?
Okay.
Not why? I.
There are also around, there were people who say, let me ask you a question. Is Allah everywhere? Just, is Allah everywhere?
Are you still gonna, okay.
Is Allah everywhere?
Yes. Well, technically.
Answer. Is Allah everywhere?
Yeah.
No.
Oh. What is
what?
Allah location.
It's just a really simple way that you get across to children that Allah knows everything that's happening at every moment. And he's knowing exactly what you're experiencing, so he doesn't have like an divided attention between people. But what is actually happening, like you won't have Allah in the bathroom, let's just say.
Yeah.
But
if you say Allah's everywhere, then he's in the toilet.
Yeah.
It's technically inside of the most inside and outside of the most outside.
Something
yeah,
very
that
nice.
Makes that makes
wait,
lots.
So can you
hold
say
on. Something a little girl.
It does. You have to understand.
Yes.
There is a hadith.
You don't even understand.
A little girl
yeah,
came to the Prophet and she asked him, "Where is Allah?" He said, "In heavens."
In heaven.
Okay, but his power and knowledge is everywhere. His power and knowledge is what?
Everywhere.
So the location is in heaven, but the power and knowledge everywhere. Sometimes you find a lot of things that a lot of popular things around that are not part of Islam. That's an innovation. Just like what? Did you see people making dhikr like this? Allah hai, Allah hai, Allah hai with a drum. Allah hai, Allah hai, Allah hai. You're laughing, but there are people who do dhikr like that. Allah hai. They do it like all night long. Yeah. Because, yes, because just imagine the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam praying, Allah hay, Allah. Imagine Abu Bakr saying, Wahidu, Wahidu. And Umar saying, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. What is this? Okay? That's an innovative, invented bid'ah. That's a bid'ah. Okay. You can say,
I'm outside of prayer.
You can say, I am playing or having
can
fun,
play,
but you can't say.
Is it,
Like,
during prayer?
Not during prayer, just in general.
Magic.
No.
It's just an instrument. It's like a rhythm.
It's just
like,
a song.
No, but
people say like you can only do percussion instruments.
Yeah.
Some people are like, oh, you can do all
string.
Instruments. And
can
then
you
some
sing?
Do like, yeah, you can.
People say you're not.
I will promise you I'll going to speak about this, about singing
please,
and
please,
music.
I singing
next time, just remind me.
Talk about music.
Another popular.
No.
Huh? Next week, inshallah. Just remind me.
Girls,
we're not done yet.
Girls, please pay attention.
We have 5 more minutes to go. Please, we have 5 more minutes to go. There are people also who say, who give you secret formula. Like you say, I wanna heal from my sickness. So they tell you, if you want to heal from your sickness, what you do is that you say Subhanallah 30,000 times, Alhamdulillah 50 times, and you pray 30 rak'ahs.
It's bound to work eventually because it's going to take you so long that, you know, by 2 weeks from then, which is how long it would probably take you, you'd be done with your sickness.
That's a joke.
Yes, it is,
but
100%. You're supposed to be laughing.
Well, you're not funny.
Lena!
Lena, wow!
Okay.
So, the question is, my question to them, where did they come up with this secret formula from?
What kind of phone is that?
Huh?
Wait.
Hello?
Oh, your wires are colored.
Hello? Where did he come? Hello?
Really?
Hello? The question to them, where did they come up with this? Where? What's the source of this formula? Please. Want to finish and leave.
Oh,
so what? Well, I'm going to keep you until I finish. So better listen to it, or we have a little bit to finish. So if somebody gives you a secret formula, says, okay, if you want to heal from your sickness, you say Subhanallah 100,000 times, you pray 50 rak'ahs, you blah, blah, blah. And then when you ask Allah, Allah will not turn you away. The question is,
how did you shatter your screen?
Where did you get this formula from? Where did you get this secret, this thing from? It's either the Prophet Muhammad knew it, but he didn't tell us. That's Prophet Muhammad is dishonest in this case. Or Prophet Muhammad didn't know about it, and you know about it. This is nonsense, right? You got this part? Okay. If the secret formula, it's either Prophet Muhammad knew about it or didn't know about it. Now, about music, if it comes by itself, music, it's fine. But if it comes with its attachment.
If it comes like there's just music with the just music, like just instruments, and then there's the lyricals. So with the bad, there's a lot of bad messages with.
So no, Nikki.
Oh my God.
The attachment, let me handle this. Listen to me. The attachment that comes with music. Some people, the attachment that comes with music is dancing. It's dancing.
Huh? Dancing's okay, right? As long as
like belly dancing.
Oh,
yes.
Belly dancing.
That's ending.
So,
yes.
Is it halal?
What? No. You're allowed to dance as long as you don't dance in front of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
The intention is.
Ew, I would
two
girls.
Guys.
I'm keeping them.
Yeah,
you're
so
going to listen.
The intention is.
Sorry.
I mean, do you need to clear your throat anymore?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. If the attachment that comes with music is haram, okay, this is what usually say music is haram. Not because of the sound, it's because the attachment that comes with it. Okay. Another thing, people are saying. Song are haram. Why? Because they got the attachment that comes with them with the
message conveyed
singing.
By the lyric.
But if somebody is saying, if you're saying,
you said,
is that haram? See?
My mom sang it
to me. I had to memorize it for this community thing.
So like the mud culture, we have this Eritrean community where you like every week they like
the first
events.
I got was,
and this time we
my
had
mom
sing,
said
like,
singing was haram, and I was like, okay. Oh,
okay. What do you say?
There are really messed up songs.
There are three conditions.
How popular? Bunk
was? Yeah. Oh,
have that you ever funny. Actually listened like, to the right. lyrics?
Yeah.
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 I've
never lost it.
There are three criteria. There are three criteria to judge if the song is haram or not. Number one, the meaning. If the meaning is clean and the meaning is halal, good, then it's second. Second is the second thing to judge a song is, for example, the meaning is Tala al-Badru alayna is good, otherwise it depends. The singer himself or herself has to be known as righteous singer.
I knew it.
You don't go to Madonna. Madonna, for example. Why? Because she has a bad reputation. She has a bad reputation.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Okay. So, like, I know some people who, when they listen to music,